Recording. Cool. Hello and welcome to another Red Jackson episode with me, Fraser.
Me, Charlie.
Me, Rick.
And your boy, Sirhan.
Meow, 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 meow.
Do you know that actually the other day, right? Hands down, because you guys introduced yourself normal, I think I might know what my podcasting name should be.
I found it.
It's not I worked it out. This is like old school stuff. It was Turka Lurka at one point. Do you remember?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go with it, that's
kind of rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. Princess, to be fair, but all right.
Turka Lurka Sirhan.
Turka Lurka Sirhan.
In fairness, Princess also does intrigue me because it's kind of unique. I don't mind. Listen, they're both very accurate. I am a Turka Lurka.
Princess Turka Lurka.
That's my title. That's the title.
The name is Turka Lurka.
But the title, yeah, absolutely. You
don't want that sticking on the internet, trust me.
Yeah. That was our own.
Right. Sorry, so what are we talking about again?
Doomsday.
Doomsday. Marvel's Avengers Doomsday. And what we've got so far in the announcement over the big announcement that we got last year. So, yeah, we're just going to run down the old cast list that got revealed and share our thoughts and opinions on who actually made the cut and maybe who didn't make the cut. Mm-hmm. So starting with, first but not least, weird way around to put it, Chris Hemsworth.
Yep.
The Thor. Mighty Thor.
Yeah.
Now probably the longest running of the original Avengers still at it.
Yeah.
Has he got the, I feel like he's got the most films out.
He's got Thor's,
he's been in
four,
the most films.
He's got four.
Four, yeah, four. One, two, three.
I thought you were being funny, Chaz.
One, two, three, four. Avengers one.
Avengers
two.
Ultron.
Three, four.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy three.
Oh yeah.
Little
yeah.
cameo.
Yeah, he was cameo.
So that makes nine. I think that's everything.
He had his own little No, it wasn't really a series.
Oh, the YouTube thing.
Short.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They count that in the continuity, though.
Yeah.
That's on Disney, yeah. I don't know if those count. He has had the most screen time, I think, out of the lot.
We've all got the internet. Has anyone got a spare device, laptop, computer on them that they can quickly Google this?
Yeah, Fraser's the guy in the chair.
Okay, let me see.
Fraser's the guy in the chair,
So and another thing that kind of amazed me, because I watched obviously another video to get all the list of the names and to remind myself who was acting as who, is just how long ago their first appearances were. So Thor 1 came out in 2011 and he's been acting since then. And that's if you think about it, 14 years of being
Mad.
God of Thunder.
Wow. Okay.
And he's evolved it so well. I mean, obviously latest film was a bit shit, but he was still a good Thor in it.
Yeah.
He was told to do, I would say. Mm-hmm.
He is like one of the iconic characters. Like, no one else can play Iron Man. That is an RDJ role. No one else can play Captain America. That is purely Chris Evans. And no one else can play Thor. That is Chris Hemsworth.
I think at the start, maybe like Thor 1 and 2, I think he could have been replaceable. But I think by Ragnarok, that cemented his role.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like his physique cemented his role, possibly.
Yeah, true.
I don't agree with that. I still think this. Well, fuck you as well. Let me explain. Let the princess speak. Because I think that there is certain mannerisms and certain quirks I feel like Tony and Cap, as their actors, have added to them, and now it's like transferred over into the comics. Now, like with RDJ, it was a bit more of the comical, sarky side, you know, that sort of the lovable asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Cap's found that really nice balance as Chris Evans. That is, he's got morals and values, but he's not a goody two shoes, so you don't get annoyed. It's a nice balance. I think Chris Hemsworth's look and style and face is synonymous with Thor, but I still don't think it could be the only Thor. Not in a bad way. Apart from his comedic chops, I don't think he's brought anything that's they went, oh, we need to put this in the comics now, or well, maybe Fat Thor, but that's more of a concept than his thing. So
I liked Fat Thor. I thought that was a really good touch.
Yeah,
it ran with it a bit too long, but the introduction of Fat Thor was great. It was great.
I loved him the whole way through. Fat Thor made sense. He was depressed.
Made sense. Yes, thank you. He was depressed. If it was just for shits and giggles, I would have been so annoyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's part of his character arc.
But that's kind of what 100%. They turned him into. After a certain point, like as the move after Endgame and everything, they kind of took Thor as a character. For if you look at Thor 1, mm-hmm. obviously there is a lot of progression since that time. But he did kind of become like the jokey sort of character of the lot. And they mm-hmm. kind of lost a little bit of the Thor-esque kind of thing to him. Mm-hmm.
Thor is a bit of a joke, though, isn't he? He's always a bit of a joke, even in the cartoons and that. Like, because he's so, I don't know, what's the word?
Invincible.
Like, regal. Mm-hmm. And super
and kind of like, he's got a different culture, right? So he comes down, he sees humans, and he's just laughing at them, really, isn't he?
Yeah. But then, obviously, he says things that are like, yeah, we're not, that's so dumb. We're so much smarter than you are. Like, yeah, he's always been a bit like that.
He's a bit melodramatic, and he does sort of, not in a cocky way or a negative way, but whether it be like through like what ifs and stuff, you can see that godliness in his mode of mind. Is like, well, I kind of feel sorry for these little humans. Let me help them out. And that's usually where a bit of that sympathy, empathy kicks in. But anyway, I'm glad he's going to be in it, and I'm curious to see where they're going to take him. Because in all fairness, Love and Thunder for me was terrible. I mean, awful. I really did not enjoy it. But I didn't dislike him as a character in a role. That's okay. And I think they just bounced off of Ragnarok because it works. And let's quadruple it. And it was like, no, there's no space for any dramatics.
That's the thing. That's where I feel like they went too far.
Yeah, they went too far.
That iteration of Thor, they took it a bit too far in Love and Thunder and it ruined it a little bit. It did.
Yeah.
Would this film be the next scheduled appearance of Chris Hemsworth as Thor since Love and Thunder? Or is there going to be something in between?
I don't think so. Just looking at the list, we pretty much got it right. But he was also in a mid-credit scene for Doctor Strange. Yeah, I remember that one actually. Yeah,
yes,
and they include that. Yeah,
was he?
What was that?
When he's
beer, right? Yeah,
Doctor Strange at the end of the post-credit scene where he's just sitting there, and Strange is refilling his cup up with beer again.
Gives him a tea.
And.
Fun fact, to my knowledge, I think that was the only scene so far that they included Doctor Strange's comic book accurate yellow gloves. And they never go back to that look after a while. When it's not necessary. I don't think it is. But that's the only scene that they kind of like tested it out.
Yellow gloves are to clean the dishes. You just see Dexter.
I don't even remember
Dexter's
that.
From Dexter Laboratory.
true.
Who else we got on the cast, please?
So the next one is Vanessa Kirby, who is playing the Invisible Woman in the upcoming Fantastic Four film. That's the one. So don't know what to expect with the inclusion of all of the Fantastic Four cast. It kind of really drives home the kind of shoehorning of everything together to create a new Avengers film for me, I think, because they're getting their own film. We've got high hopes for it. I don't know whether we can say at the moment whether it's going to be a hit or if it's going to be mid or whatever. I hope it's a hit. But to go from that then straight into the next big team up seems a bit hasty, but they don't really have much of a choice at the moment, and it's just because of how we've ended up since Endgame.
Yeah,
I would
say that's kind of copy and paste for a lot of the groups that are included in this. I mean, most of them. I mean, like obviously we're going to go through the whole list, but you've got like Fantastic Four, X-Men, the Thunderbolts, the original kind of Avengers, the like Shang-Chi area of wherever the fuck he fits in all this. Yeah. It's a lot of weird groups that we haven't seen a great deal of. In fact, some of them, none. We haven't seen anything of, really. Like the Thunderbolts, we haven't seen work together. We've seen them all individually, I think. Yeah, Ghost, US Agent, Yelena. We have David Harbour as Thingy as well. So yeah, it is a weird collection of, this is going to be a massive shoehorn, as you said. It is just going to be shoving it all
we
in.
We don't know until the films that come out this year.
Mm-hmm. And what if they tank?
Yeah.
With the breakdowns that I was watching, just over this teaser trailer, obviously the conversation opened up. So some of you might be familiar with this. Maybe some of the listeners might be familiar with this. But when they'd done interviews, I think it was with Kevin Feige and whoever else is kind of behind this and producing in Marvel, people were kind of alluding to that of like, oh, is this just a quick fix because of the whole actor of Kang, you know, his controversy. So you had to kind of replace him. You kill him off in Quantumania sort of thing. And what's the next big baddie? Oh, it's going to be Doctor Doom. But they said it's not necessarily just a direct reaction of Kang's failed, what are we going to do? their plan was that they were going to have the whole phase with Kang as the big bad. They obviously win. And the whole story was there was Kang obviously wants to be a ruler, every multiverse and all that business. And if I'm not mistaken, the theory that's kind of rolling around is that was going to happen in this phase with Kang is that we find out that Kang killed or somehow destroyed every timeline with the Fantastic Four in it. So no Doctor Doom could be created because Kang knew Doctor Doom is even more powerful. So when he's kind of about to die, he would have alluded to whoever's beaten him, those Avengers, like, you're fucked, I'm dead. And I was the only thing holding back this crazy motherfucker. And then that was supposed to be the build-up. It was always going to head to Doom in the next phase. That's the theory. And that's a little bit of some stuff that Marvel has reflected on that. This isn't just a shoehorn. They've just had to rejuggle and shorten and basically do one phase ahead.
It's not a good sign. As you said, like with what was it, the Ancient One, was it? Was that, no, that one his name. What was it? The original version.
The one who remains.
Like his thing was, oh, I'm holding back all my other variants. If they had just known a little bit sooner how it was going, they could have gone, there's this other guy. just hinted to Doom there and then, and it would have been like, oh, it's coming. But instead it was, yeah, it's a shame really. Because he was very good as Kang.
He was.
Yeah. I joined it from that interview. One thing I will say that I do believe is an absolute definitely just not shoehorn, but like we need to react is let's say we went for the Kang dynasty, let's say we went for the Kang phase as Marvel, and let's say it was successful, we liked it. I don't think they would have been as keen to say RDJ please come back for Doctor Doom, because this is damage control with him. I think that at least was a damage control. What move can we make to make this relevant and impactful and quicker? And I think at least that point was.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I definitely think it was a bit of saving the assets.
Yeah.
100%.
But hopefully, Fantastic Four smashes it. Next on the list, we've got Anthony Mackie as Captain America.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you guys have watched the latest Captain America. I have not either.
I have.
Yeah. Great night.
Which one is it?
Brave New World.
Yeah, I'll be honest, guys. It's not great. It's quite bad. In fact, if I had just seen it on Disney Plus, I'd still say it's just quite bad.
But without spoilers, is it, because obviously we're talking about Anthony Mackie, is it his portrayal? Is it the film or the storyline?
It's the same every time that Disney have a flop. It's never the actors doing their roles badly, or very rarely. I think there's probably a few cases, but very, very rarely is it the actors and the characters they're playing. Is the story just sucks, and it's just a sucky story. Like, I don't, like, no spoilies, but the only time you're going to see Red Hulk is the trailer footage. That's the only time you see him, right at the fucking end, and that's the big blowout you're going to have when you watch it, as well as the many little ones in between that are just shit. Like, don't pay off and stuff. But no, Anthony Mackie is great. Danny Ramirez as Falcon, great. So yeah, if they're coming back, which I think they're listed, that's cool. A new Cap and a new Falcon.
Plus, I do like Anthony Mackie. Him and Sebastian Stan's bromance just makes me laugh, and him and Chris Evans as well.
Which will be nice to see again. It'll be really nice to see that again.
Yeah,
Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie.
I think he had a pretty nice sort of slow burn character progression throughout his time as Falcon. Anthony Mackie, again, he's another one who's been around since 2014, long time running.
Winter Soldier came in.
And do you know what, I think they've done the best thing for him as a character. He's a nice guy and he looks very likable and personable from interviews, so I think that obviously helps the case of that, like, his consensus in society is mine. But he was introduced to Cap as a bit of another war veteran and a friend. That was the most important. He was a friend and an ally, and then he became, not became, but then his, you know, what's his name? I was going to call him Winter Falcon or Falcon Soldier. What's it?
Winter Soldier.
No. What's Anthony Mackie's OG name?
Falcon.
Superhero. Falcon. Is it just Falcon?
Yeah.
I've really fucked that up. I thought that Winter Falcon or something. Anyway, Winter Falcon. Captain Falcon. But anyway, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they would introduce him as just, I'm Falcon and this is my, like, powers, I'd have been like, it just looks like a jetpack of Tony Stark's that was like 10 years old. But because he was a good friend, the whole on your left thing is like synonymous.
It was rounded out iconic. really well.
So to me, even if he's Cap or in an Iron Man suit, it's not, I'm never gonna go, oh, that's that can't be the new Iron Man, that can't be the new Cap. I'm like, no, I'm watching this character try to take on that mantle. It's the point.
No, that's exactly it. And I'll be honest, I feel like his arc finished at Endgame. I feel like him getting the shield to be the new Captain America is actually the end of his arc. And I think Disney really, or Marvel, have really struggled to write him in as Captain America.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah, it's in the film, like, I don't have the super serum and stuff. And it's like, no, unfortunately, you're going to be a worse version. There's no way you're going to be better. Yeah. Like, you know, you can't hold back Thanos' fist. You will die. You will just die, you know.
No.
It's a new grounded version, I guess, of Cap. If we need to see a grounded, like, espionage thriller, like Winter Soldier version of Falcon, that's how they should have put him across.
Yeah. I feel like they could have pulled that off in the Falcon and Winter Soldier series if that hadn't been COVIDized.
Maybe. I think they try and glorify it too much, you know, with these big action scenes rather than, you know, Winter Soldier, most of its best action was the small moments.
That's it, yeah.
Like the hand-to-hand combat. Yeah,
hand-to-hand.
Oh, who's next?
Who's next? Well, it's Sebastian Stan himself, the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, glad he's on board. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing the Thunderbolts with him.
Yeah, he's literally going to be the veteran in that film.
Mm-hmm.
He will be the character of the entire film.
He's technically been going the longest, right? Cap 1.
Mm-hmm.
That came out before 4.
2011 as well, but yeah, before 4.
As well. Okay, so a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
Mad.
I think it's safe to say that we're all in agreement with Sebastian Stan. And the character and his interpretation of Winter Soldier, fantastic. Obviously, the story hopefully feeds it. But a small tangent of talking about what's the other film? Sorry, that's coming out that he's going to be in.
Oh, Thunderbolts.
Thunderbolts. Thank you. Did you guys hear about? I actually don't know what the details are. But did you guys hear about the whole thing of, is it Taskmaster that they've taken out of the film?
They've taken
it out. No, because Taskmaster's in the trailer and it shows.
Oh,
them.
Oh yeah.
In the moment in the office with like 7 of them like lined up, and now they're showing like the new trailer's being released and they've just gone like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 a gap, and then another person, they're like, yeah, they've clearly CGI'd them out.
I don't know if
it's the entire film or certain scenes, but I think it's fan like reactions of like, well, we don't like this character. I have a genuine feeling like people aren't responding.
What's her name, because she was in The Mummy, wasn't she?
Olga Kurylenko.
Olga Kurylenko.
No, that one. That's not who I'm thinking of.
That's James Wanchek.
The one who played Taskmaster, wasn't it? The one in Black Widow, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I'm pretty sure she was the villain in Black Widow.
There's a fan theory that she might die early on.
Oh, spoilers. I mean, that's Thunderbolts. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say, but I think they've kind of, like, Marvel kind of went, oh, okay, and they're just bad, like, fully CGI. But it's hilarious to see the trailer, like, just
the Taskmaster is such a great villain.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good character.
And they really flopped him.
Yeah.
Her.
Whatever. Like, yeah, I mean, I'd be on board as long as she had the powers and was doing it right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on board. Taskmaster is so
good. It's almost like Deadpool-esque kind of character, right? They really could have had a hit if they wrote her properly.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, let's talk about Shang-Chi. Because
the character or the film?
The character.
Oh, right.
How do you guys feel about him being in like the next Avengers film? Because a part of me is a bit like, I feel like Shang-Chi came out a really long time ago. And it's almost like, I feel like Moon Knight would have been a much better entry.
I did think.
Do you know what I mean?
When I saw
Oscar Isaac not in Doomsday.
No.
I swear I saw his name somewhere on the cast list.
No.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Yeah, Oscar Isaac's name is on the cast list for Doomsday.
Is it?
It might not have been in the trailer, but he is on the cast list. Moon Knight would have been a much better shout. I didn't overly love Shang-Chi. I think maybe it was just because...
No, he hasn't.
He didn't have the same time that we got used to every other character in Marvel. Shang-Chi's felt very much shoehorned in just for the sake of having the little mini-series that Marvel was on when they had extra time, like Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was a film, though.
It was a film, but Shang-Chi felt like that era of Marvel, like Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, like just a kind of another character to throw into the universe.
It does feel like a Netflix character, doesn't it?
It does. The film wasn't great either, to be honest. It wasn't the best Marvel film that they've ever done. It kind of was like a throwaway. All right, he's a cool character. He's got some cool moves. He does some cool stuff. He's a cool city, but
there were no stakes.
It was very forgettable. It was not a staple Marvel film.
Yeah,
That's how I see it anyway.
I do feel like they're putting him in there for representation because there's not a lot. There's not it a lot of representation be. Like in the Asian side.
I mean, yeah, yeah, it would obviously represent, you know, obviously the Asian culture and community in that regard. And diversity is always something they're going to want to go towards. But to be honest with you, this is like, again, a semi sort of idea of the breakdowns. And there's, obviously, these aren't confirmed. But these are people's theories of if Doom is orchestrating all of this shit happening, that's why there's going to be different universes sort of involved with themselves a little bit. That's why we're going to get up. And as we go through the lineup, we're going to be aware that there's characters from, let's say, the X-Men universe and like, or the, what, the old school Fox universe, whatever it was. So the consensus is that if Doom is moving, not just like a planet, timelines that overlap or branches of the timeline, someone like Simu Li, like if Shang-Chi wasn't in the film as well, I think it would be like, well, hold on, you've taken the whole fucking world. He's one of the superheroes from that world. Wouldn't he show up? Like, wouldn't he like bring his face to it as well? I don't, it's not like a Civil War where you could be like, oh yeah, Thor could have been somewhere else. No, this involves everything in that
universe. Mm. So, yeah.
I think that's also a little bit of justification, but yeah, they've got their reasons.
Yeah, but then that same coin flipped is like, well, then why aren't all these other versions? I'll be honest, why would you take Mackie's cap? You'd take Steve Rogers from a different timeline. No, unless there's a reason. I mean, this is the Russo brothers. You have to stay positive in the sense of the writing.
Is, to my knowledge, and again from the breakdown, because they spoke about the comic book that this is might be loosely based off, it's only about two timelines. This timeline and the X-Men timeline. That's okay.
Is that 616 and the Deadpool one? Is that 10005 or something?
No. It was something like maybe like 7006 or something. They mentioned it yesterday, or 1006.
They mentioned it in Multiverse of Madness. I'm pretty sure they did.
Oh, no. So this is the universe where, you know, you guys, we didn't watch Miss Marvel, did we?
No. The series?
The film. The film.
The Marvels.
The Marvel. Okay, so I didn't watch it either, but you guys are aware of the post-credit scene, right? That kind of basically the reason for it.
Yeah.
Monica Rambeau wakes up, she sees her mom, and then she turns, and there's Beast.
Mm-hmm.
It's that universe. It's that universe's particular timeline that apparently is going to cross over into this. To my knowledge, that's what it's looking like.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's where it would have been introduced in the MCU.
Interesting, because she's not listed.
Oh.
Yeah. None of the Marvels are. Which is, interesting. Now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, Beast is in the post-credit scene. That would be the perfect tie-in, but they can't just leave them out. It's crazy. But,
this is the thing. Monica Rambeau's presence in a universe that's not her own, they're saying that the theory at the moment is it's going to create an incursion, like was in Doctor Strange in Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, so but that's what I'm saying. She's not listed in Doomsday.
So. She might have died. The incursion started.
She just died.
Who's this you talk about?
Old age.
Monica Rambeau.
Monica Rambeau. Yeah, that's interesting. No Captain Marvel either, right? I'm sure you said that.
None of the Marvels.
And no Miss Marvel. Weird. Yeah. Weird.
But that is the tie-in to the X-Men that we've seen so far.
That's true.
I'm going to say, so boys, I love speculating. We can either keep going like this and then cut this down because there's a lot of names.
We will be here for hours. Yeah,
let's go. What's the name phrase?
I'll just put it out there.
Next after Sebastian.
Yeah.
The t-shirt, right? Black Panther.
Yeah.
Shuri.
I'm glad she's in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's great.
Mm-hmm. They need a Black Panther in this Avengers, and she was, she's going to do it good.
Again, there's theories that it might not be her as Black Panther. She might not be Black Panther in the film. There's a theory, again I'm watching all these breakdowns, that it might be T'Challa's grandfather. Don't ask me how. I don't know why or when.
From a different timeline or something, maybe?
Maybe, or maybe he's the
Black Panther. If they're messing with timelines, and they can do literally whatever the fuck they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like at end of the day, like it's timelines, and you've got Loki in it, you've got Doomsday in it. They're going to be pulling from all kinds of crazy shit, and they're just going to be making it up.
You mean Doctor Doom?
For the most part, like just Peter.
Hopefully, Doomsday isn't in it.
Yeah, no, Doomsday will ruin it. Batman will turn up.
Batman. Oh, will turn up.
Right, who's next? Yeah, Winston Duke. I imagine would be next, right?
Winston Duke.
M'Baku.
He's quite far. No, he. I don't know why it was split up this way. Shall we? Yeah. Shall we do it your way? So, following on from the Black Panther, yeah, we could say Winston Duke, who's in M'Baku.
M'Baku, yeah.
Kind of solidified himself as a returning character.
Yeah, done two Avengers films under his belt as well.
Mm-hmm.
With Infinity War and Endgame.
Character development. as well.
As like the rival.
Yeah, glad he's an
ally. Yeah,
and I'm guessing with him comes a Wakandan army of some kind. So yeah, hopefully that's always fun to see.
And I'll be honest with you, and I mean this in universe and out of universe, unfortunately, because obviously, you know, R.I.P. Chadwick Boseman. But I think he helps a little bit of the transition and the grieving process. Even just comic relief per se, but he like represents that person. He was that enemy, ally, friend.
The relationship that they
have. Yeah, there's an element aspect there. There's an element there that I appreciate his presence. It kind of represents a little bit.
So following on from him, we can go on to... I just heard his name. Tenoch Huerta-Melia.
Namor. Yeah.
Is he the guy that is... Am I correct in thinking that he's the same actor from Black Panther, the last one?
Wakanda Forever.
They've ruined Namor for me, I'll be honest with you. Because I love that film and I love that portrayal of him. I think they've turned someone quite wacky into someone quite serious. Is the version of him in Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
What's his name? Yeah. Mr. What?
Mr. Nimbus.
And he just like thrusted into the air. That's all I see when I see Namor. No. I'm like,
I mean, he was really good in that film, though. Like, he was good in Wakanda Forever. So
really good.
I'm interested to see how they're going to bring all this in. I have a feeling it might almost be directly at the end of Wakanda Forever that like they get taken. And I will imagine it will be in certain groups that they'll be together. Like, I think there's going to be weird crossovers where, you know, I don't know, someone like Thor is talking to, I don't know, Pedro Pascal or something, and all of a sudden they're going to get moved. You know, I feel like there's going to be a lot of like, oh wow, they're just having a chat, why would they be together? And then they're going to get taken.
Is this sort of like how the crossovers happened in Infinity War?
Yeah.
Kind of like that little the little team up to fight Thanos on Titan.
No.
That was quite exactly. Lucky.
Well, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys want to hear the theory of the comic book influenced storyline?
Yeah, go for it.
Nah, mate.
Fuck you. So I'm not going to pretend that I know the comic books. I've collected the comic books in my time, but none of these storylines. And I think the breakdowns that I was watching, this is an amalgamation between theories of the film, you know, after the cast list, and the comic book that is kind of based off, which is about the universe of Marvel, in this case 616, and the universe of X-Men going head to head, which has happened before. And the generalized idea to the storyline is that obviously, either because Monica Rambeau's in the X-Men universe or because of something else, obviously in the back behind all this is Doctor Doom, an incursion begins, these two timelines start to smash together, they cross over, they might find out probably through like Doctor Strange, which Benedict Cumberbatch probably will be in something like this. Someone will basically get like the idea of it's either us or them, and if it's not both timelines, like, we need to fuck up one side or the other. So they start to fight, and it becomes a mini civil war of the Marvel crew and the X-Men crew. And then the Fantastic Four's lot, probably through their timeline or technology or whatever, they jump to that point and they're like, you guys have to stop. You're actually both sides of you actually being manipulated by the big bad Doctor Doom. And that's how this that might be the setup for this particular film. The lead up to things.
I feel like it's definitely going to be incursion related. It was probably one of the first things I thought when I saw Kelsey Grammer come up, that it was going to be some kind of X-Men versus Avengers, like quote unquote Avengers, because it's not going to be the Avengers that we know or wish. Class as or wish they were. It's going to be this mishmash of the IPs they have left.
Yeah,
they are balancing it really well. The only person missing, I'll be honest with you, my heart is Hugh Jackman. I know I'm not saying he should come back. I don't think he should, you know, honestly, but that is that Wolverine is missing. But what I'm going to say is they're introducing a very recognizable, but maybe not the ideal Avengers cast, but they've got OG actors coming back to play the X-Men. Look, not X-Men, OG actors. That familiarity and that, that's going to be taken care of, I would imagine, from the X-Men side of things. That combination of nostalgia, excitement, and the roles that we kind of grew up with. They're very synonymous with those characters. And then the rest, it will bleed into it. And we're going to get to know them and like them. That's my best case scenario in my head.
I guess.
I'm telling you, balance. There is no way Hugh Jackman is not in this film. There is no way.
Really?
So. There is no way they're bringing back Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart, all the original cast. Yeah. Well, actually, Halle Berry wasn't announced, but there is no way that Hugh Jackman's not making an appearance.
It does seem unlikely.
But, I really want to get to these names that weren't announced.
But
okay, yeah, go on.
If yeah.
Hugh Jackman's not in it, if Hugh Jackman's going to be in it, I'm sorry, I think Ryan Reynolds should be in it. That's stepping stones.
Again, and I'm glad you, like, Ryan Reynolds almost has to be in it. Because they've already shown the clip from
of him and Thor.
Thor, you know, of him and Thor. And I'll be honest, it didn't pay off Deadpool for a reason. It has to happen. It has to. Mm-hmm. They cannot tee that
and
up.
Chris Hemsworth was first in the list.
On the list. So, I mean, it might not be in Doomsday. It might be in, is it Secret Wars that's coming after us, like part two?
Yeah,
it could be in that instead.
I guess.
You know, I think a lot of people could die maybe in Doomsday. And so you're going to need a load of replacement.
Maybe
it wouldn't surprise me if Chris Hemsworth wants to move on. I mean, even in Love and Thunder, they basically introduced an idea of a replacement.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think he would retire the role.
I mean, yeah,
it'd be a good time.
I could see Chris Hemsworth dying. Yeah.
All right.
It'd be a good call.
Moving on anyway. Mm-hmm. Paul Rudd.
Nice. Yeah.
Ant-Man. Scott Lang.
Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, he's had a stinky film, but glad he's in it.
Yeah, I think he's had a good run.
Paul Rudd, regardless of how shit Ant-Man 2
is. The man doesn't age. And if you've ever seen him on Hot Ones, oh my God, your respect.
He's so good.
Frightening level, man. Frightening level.
He's so funny.
The first Ant-Man film came out in 2015, by the way.
So he wasn't long after, only 4 years.
There was a big gap between 1 and 2, wasn't there? And then even bigger between 2 and 3.
He was in Civil War. As well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he really kind of cemented himself in a little bit. Like
he was the hero,
Liverpool character. Yeah,
I
mean, he literally was the one who came up with the idea for time travel in Endgame. He saved everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, so yeah, he's vital. I love Paul Rudd, man.
That rat that brought him back. He saved everyone.
True.
Yeah. That
true.
Rat.
Yeah.
True. Thanos could have killed the real
hero. I still accept that fact. People, it's a cop-out, it's just an easy way. I don't care. I still accept the fact that, a rat absolutely could have just stepped on a bus. And honestly, I accept it. One small thing I will say is the trailer that we see of the cast being revealed, let's say on YouTube, is different to the live version. Slightly. Very, very slightly. It's two slightly different versions.
Mm.
In our version, obviously, in the two minutes or so, it just scrolls past Paul Rudd's name. But in the live version, it stops. It passes one chair, it stops, and there's just a gap. There's no chair. And then they lower down, and it's a small chair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you see it? And then it comes back up. It was just a small thing, but such a nice touch.
It's a very strange thing to do. I wonder if, like, in the full version, it was just like, we should give him a normal chair. Maybe he kicked off. Next name, Wyatt Russell, who is a US agent. Only appearing so far in Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, mega jaw.
An interesting role. I think he did it well.
Oh, at the end of the day,
he's another super soldier, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember him at all.
Only the next film.
He decapitated that guy with the shield. That's all you need to remember. That's the only important thing about him.
Thunderbolts. We'll talk about him after Thunderbolts. Before this point, in my mind, I'm like, I'm not for him, and I'm not absolutely not against him. I think, let's just see what happens.
So we'll link him in with Lewis Pullman, who is playing the Sentry / the Void in Thunderbolts.
Yep.
Oh.
I don't know who that is, really, but yep.
The Sentry, the Void.
The Sentry, all I know about Sentry is that he was good friends with Bruce Banner.
Okay.
The closest thing I know to this guy is Marvel Snap, the app card game. And you play him, and he's stupidly strong, and then he forms this weird shadow monster thing.
All right,
That's the only thing I know about him.
This is a new character for the MCU. This is a big deal guy, though. Because, again, with the breakdown, when they went into his comic book stuff, Rick's kind of like alluded to it. He is ridiculously OP. He was like stronger than Thor and Hulk combined. They were both trying to fight, and they couldn't beat him. I think... Mm-hmm. Thanos came at him with the gauntlet with like some magical weapon and he broke it. He carried a whole dead celestial across space and like threw him away. All these massive things, right? And he's an amazing, amazing hero. And I think he's the person that's going to be in Thunderbolts, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
He's amazing. He's like Superman times 10 of that level of strength for the MCU. He's the Superman of it, like in power.
He's the Superman. That's the best way to describe him, isn't it?
He is. But the catch is he's possessed by the void, something that turns into a dark force. So for the amount of lives he literally saves, maybe not life, but like literally for all he saves, when the void takes over, he kills and destroys.
Sounds like the Phoenix.
And but he sounds a bit more black and white. Mm-hmm. I think the Thunderbolts is their job to stop him or convince something. Him.
Like, I think they're going to talk legit to him.
I mean, that's the first thing. That's the most I've ever heard about this single character. And he sounds really fucking cool. But why have we not heard about him at all up until this point?
Yeah.
Like, if he was that big of a character, he should have been, like, hinted at some point. And but for them
maybe
to
it's not from Earth or something.
Drop him into the Thunderbolts, and they're like, this is the guy. It's, like, a very big reveal.
They're going to have to do it well, yeah.
Yeah, that's a big gamble, and that very rarely pays off. But that's me. That's
very
me.
True.
They're doing a bit of a Miss Marvel. That's all it is. They're introducing her a little bit, one film, and then she's in the next big team up. And they're kind of doing the same for him. But if it's done well,
I think Marvel needs almost like a Superman character. But I don't like Superman as a character.
I hate Superman.
No.
The thing is, he's OP, but he's boring. Because if he's not boring, it's almost like a child with a nuke. And you can't kind of be on that side. So it's a really fine line to balance how much you're going to enjoy a character like that. Like, even Captain Marvel is quite hard to enjoy.
Yeah.
Because you have to be so stoic knowing you have that much power.
Yeah, it's true. It almost takes away from their character.
Interesting.
We'll have to see what they do with it. If it doesn't pay off in Thunderbolts, then that's a very big gamble that they fucked around with. But it could work. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, sticking with Thunderbolts, Florence Pugh.
Pugh.
Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
I like her.
New Black Widow.
Has she actually called herself
Black Widow, or she's just a Black Widow?
I think she's a Black Widow, yeah.
Mm. She can't be the Black Widow. That's reserved for the GOAT.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that would have been a nice reveal. But I mean, again, I don't think they would have announced her name. I think they'd leave her as a surprise if she is going to make an entrance, but... That'd be cool.
Really, really.
The way you guys explain that though is like she's established herself. They're just gonna have a scream of her name, but like a Black Widow, and then just the A phase, and just like the Black, and everyone just that's the whole trailer.
I mean, that could have been dope.
That's like the end of Falcon and Winter Soldier. It changed to Captain America and Winter Soldier.
Yeah,
that was a touch. That was cool.
With Scarlett Johansson, I mean, she had like a big battle with Marvel in it, so I'm not sure if she would return, unfortunately.
Wasn't it with it was with Disney, wasn't it?
Was it Disney? Marvel? It might have been Disney because because it was a Disney Plus thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on. David Harbour, touching him. Red Guardian,
nice,
yep. good comedy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he brought life to the Black Widow film, I think.
Yeah,
for sure.
Hannah John Kamen.
Ghost.
Ghost.
Kind
of a throwaway anti-hero from Ant-Man and the Wasp, I think.
That's some cool stuff, but it doesn't do too much with it. It's like, okay, you kind of just pick and choose when it's convenient for stories. Like, all right, fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will kind of cover two. I think it will cover three grounds. This is how I'll break down her character. One, if her character and her powers have a specific function to the story, okay, cool. I might see the relevancy about it. If it's good character development, all right, cool. I can get on board with that. You can connect with her. And if she's got a good rapport and banter with at least one of the other people in her little clique. Mm-hmm. I keep forgetting clicks. This film's
Thunderbolts.
God damn it! I think those are the three areas. If they can tick all three boxes, perfect. Because I don't actually dislike. I think it's kind of what they did with like Miss Marvel when they introduced her in her own film. She was kind of a certain way, and then they shifted her character a little bit in later movies. If that makes sense, like some it's like a season one of any TV show or episode one. Sometimes you can see the character's not quite down.
Mm-hmm.
Episode six or
they need more interactions to flesh themselves
out. Yeah. She's got that potential that she could flesh out if they actually need her, or if she's just there as a token.
I think I just remember her being really angry in the
in
the Ant-Man film. I don't think she really got much chance to shine.
It'd be nice to see comedy come out of her.
Yeah, a little bit of banter. So next up, Ebon Moss Bacharach, The Thing.
Yeah,
playing The Thing. Yeah, ooh, I think we touched on that a little bit. What do you guys think of the CG on The Thing?
It doesn't bother me.
I can get on board with it.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Is his eyebrows like come 5 miles ahead of his eyes? It's kind of weird and a little bit off-putting. But a few minutes into it, you'll probably just kind of forget about it. But
there's they've gone for comic accurate. But when you've got a character for Korg mm-hmm. was the thing. It was perfect. Just copy and paste him. Make the boulders a little bit bigger and make him orange. Like just make him a more reddy orange. Done. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I'm on board with it.
Yeah. Possibly for the third iteration, especially after Fantastic, the flop. Yeah, I guess going comic accurate is a pretty safe bet.
I still like the original really thing.
Yeah, I do.
When did those come out?
You said the original. With, you
know, seven,
the original one must have been like early 2000s.
Jessica Alba one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just after Spider-Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Straight after. So Joseph Quinn is playing the Human Torch. I don't know anything about him as an actor.
Not seen him much. He was in Stranger Things. Really good in Stranger Things.
Oh yeah.
What did he do in Stranger Things?
Have you seen it?
I've seen Stranger Things. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was Eddie.
Is he Eddie? Oh, Eddie. Damn.
Oh, was he Eddie?
Yeah.
They brought Eddie in.
Yeah.
Oh, Eddie was a great. Eddie's a legend. Character.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all right, there you go.
I'm on board.
He looks completely different.
Immediately on board.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to him as Human Torch.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Cool. And then we've got the goat, the man himself,
Daddy.
No.
That is Daddy.
Pedro Pascal.
That is indeed Daddy.
Daddy Pascal.
Anyone that's not a Daddy is a fucking liar.
Papa Pascal.
Yep.
Papa Pascal, I can get on board with, but please stop calling him Daddy. I know that's what everyone calls him, but
you got to remember that Mr. Fantastic and Doom are rivals. So there is going to be a Pedro Pascal RDJ face-off. How sick. I'm so pumped for that. I'm so pumped.
I am really hoping that they get the stretching, not just the CG, but the vibe of it right. It's not about being realistic. I just really hope they get it, because it's such an awkward power. It's so useful and so cool, but it's so awkward to make it look, I don't know, feasible.
Yeah. It's always slapstick. It's always funny. It doesn't matter how they do it. It's always a funny thing to do. You can't make it serious.
Do you know what I'm thinking? In the Fantastic Four film, it is probably going to be quite a bit more slapstick than it is like actual powers, like trying to make it look like action. But then I imagine possibly in this Doomsday, when he uses them, it might be a little bit like an oh shit moment. And I'm kind of relating this to Doctor Strange. Like the first Doctor Strange film, he kind of spends a lot of time getting like tossed around in all this CG. But then, you know, you see him fight Thanos in Infinity War,
and he's home.
It's just like, oh shit.
Yeah. I think you might be right. I think they probably will go for that approach for a second phase.
That'd be very cool. All right, then we can stop for an ad break.
Ad break.
Yeah, boy.
Ad break day. Hey everyone, Razor here. Hope you're enjoying this episode of Red Jackson so far. We can't wait to release everything we have in store to entertain you with this season. Thank you so much for your support so far. Let us know what you think of this episode by leaving a like or a dislike and sharing around with any friends, family, enemies, teachers, pets, anyone you think would enjoy listening to us. All engagement is welcome. We'd love to hear from you. Just leave a comment on this episode and we'll get right back to you as soon as we can. You can also message us on our Instagram page where you can find a collection of our ad breaks clipped out and possibly even animated for your entertainment. Just find us at Red Jackson Podcast on Instagram and we hope you enjoy. For anything else, you're welcome to contact us by email at rjopoddy@gmail.com. That's rjopoddy@gmail.com. All the relevant details will be chucked in the description below. We hope you continue to tune into the podcast and we appreciate your support for this new season. Now enough from me, back to this amazing episode of Red Jackson.
Welcome back from the ad break.
Hey. 10 out of 10.
And we're back.
Next name up, Simu Liu, Shang-Chi.
What's your thoughts on like his character and him entering the Avengers?
Another one, kind of like Ghost, I think, needs a bit more fleshing out, a bit more interaction. Yeah, definitely needs a lot more interaction. He's only interacted with his own circle and had his own sort of character development. So yeah, I feel like he might be more of a plot device than anything, but hopefully he does get his chance to shine and to become an Avenger, you know.
It wouldn't surprise me if Doom wouldn't be after the powers in his rings.
Mm-hmm.
And also as a character, the only even inclination towards him mixing with the bigger universe was Wong that brings him. Mm-hmm. Is that meeting with, I think this Captain Marvel there, like in the hologram, and I think, is it Hulk as well there? There's about two or three people in a hologram, Wong, and then Shang-Chi and his girl.
Yeah.
And that might be the link as well to Monica Rambeau.
Could be. Mm.
But again, a lot of those people weren't listed. Like Ruffalo's not in the list.
Wait. Hold on. In that cutscene, they say that the centerpiece of the conversation is there's a distress signal, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't even remember. Like
that. No. I just remember that little nugget, right? It was like they talk about a distress signal and maybe something to do with his rings that can help with it, or maybe they're just bringing him in. It's a distress signal. What if that distress signal is from now in this, as time has moved on, from Monica Rambeau in that universe that she wakes up in?
Oh, could be.
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Could be.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, it could be. That could be a good call, mate. You could just text back in a couple of months and be like, fucking told you.
Kind of like, why would we as an audience really care? Knows. I feel like it might be a catalyst for the incursion, maybe. Mm. I feel like it's more something like that. But we'll see.
Let's get to the big ones.
Big ones. Well, I think we covered a little bit Kelsey Grammer as the Beast. Yeah. In the cast reveal, the music switches up a little bit at this point.
Yeah.
Tempo, cool. The notes, pitch. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's back in full CGI. The video I watched that was breaking it down, it showed like a clip of him in the old X-Men films. It just kind of makes me miss the days of like full makeup, because it kind of still worked.
It looks sick. It looks so good. I prefer that version to the CG version, sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a bit more skin color blue, even though that's like not really skin color, but
yeah,
you can definitely see like the CG blue in the Beast from the end of the Marvels.
Yeah.
I mean, in all fairness, they've kind of done the same thing with the Thing. But they're like, all right, just for safety, let's go to the comics. With the Beast now in CG in that one scene he was in, they've modeled him after the original, like, 97 X-Men comic. So it's still, again, they're plugging a little bit on that of, well, it's kind of canon and it's kind of, you know, nostalgic. So it's a bit easier to swallow in a sense.
Yeah.
I'm on the same level of, it's cool, but there is something very CG about it. But maybe by this film, the CG will have developed, like it does with the Hulk. Even Hulk's appearance has changed.
Maybe he won't even have that much of an appearance, considering he's all CG.
He dies.
He might just be exposition, you know?
He's like, oh no! And that's it. He's dead. Calling it now, boys. My theories are all here.
So next up, next big name, Patrick Stewart, returning as Professor X.
Come on, give him justice. For that fucking multiverse of madness shambles they did.
How old is Patrick Stewart?
Yeah. I'm going to guess 82.
Oh,
maybe not that old.
I'm going to say 75.
Could be close.
77.
Charlie's closest.
Seven, man.
82. How old is he?
84.
Oh, shit.
God damn.
Ian McKellen's older, I think.
Still fucking iconic, aren't
it? Ian McKellen's older.
He is older.
Yeah, he is.
He's 85. He's only older by a year.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, it's crazy. Like, these guys must love these characters. We might as well talk about both of them, Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart, returning from X-Men film in 2000. Literally one of the first to kick him off.
As characters, as actors, and as the people that are going to interpret them, I have no doubt in their ability. I have no doubt in their ability as actors. And as well as still being iconic.
Mm-hmm.
They are part of
as long as they keep them iconic personas, as long as they don't like try and Disney them up, Marvel them up. I just let Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart do what they know how to do.
Yeah.
And give them the right lines. You know what I mean? Even just take them off script, because I guarantee they'll know the right things to say in character.
Hopefully.
I hope they get that right.
Yeah, hopefully it's not like a Bruce Willis moment though, like they keep making him do like Die Hard films and stuff too. He doesn't really know what's going on. You know.
Yeah, no, they're both seen with it. They're both still with stuff at the minute.
Oh no, they're still both still on it. Like it's like acting is a bit like wine, I would imagine, especially with these guys. They've matured so beautifully. It's just richer in what it is. But I'm telling you this right now. It sounds stupid, but this is where my mind went to. I would watch at least a short film of them sitting down opposite each other as characters. I just want to see Magneto, with his ability, just lift something metal up in between them. And I want to see Dr. Xavier or Patrick Stewart use the telekinesis to push it down. I just want to see who wins. I would sit there for at least 15 minutes watching these two guys be like, who the fuck's going to lift it up and push it down? I swear to God.
That'd be fun.
Well,
yeah.
And you would find
out. Problem with that, Professor X doesn't have telekinesis.
Yeah.
He would, I guess he could try. Well, that's why Magneto wears the helmet, right? Yes,
he could try and stop him from doing it.
I would sit the friend out just watching them talk in the conversation. Magneto and Professor X just talking about the future of mutant kind. That would be an insane conversation. That would be sick. Yeah. Anything with them two in it, as Magneto and Charles Xavier, is gonna be sick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I do kind of feel like they've put them in there, like these big, big names.
Mm-hmm.
Purely for star power. A lot of what Doomsday has done with the whole casting and the reveal and everything, I feel like it's Marvel, like, all right, we recognize that we've flopped everything since Endgame, people are unhappy, whatever, whatever. This is their attempt to try and bring back our generation of fans to the movies and bring it back and try and restore the gold. Because there's a lot of buzz about it for good reason, because it's a crazy cast. But when you have that many big names chucked into a two and a half hour film, it gets very messy, because every character has their own fucking thing, and not everyone's going to get like an hour screen time. It's going to be very, very short bits here and there, which is why I feel like it's not really going to work.
But we have seen them nail it with Infinity War and Endgame.
But there was more 10, 11 years of backstory and build.
You're right. Fleshing
everything out. So we all knew what was going on. This feels very haphazard.
Who can we get?
Yeah.
Who's the biggest names available?
I hope to God I am wrong and they nail it completely. But to me, it does feel a bit like, look at the shiny, come watch our film kind of thing. That's what it feels like to me.
I think Rick makes a solid point, because it's with everything with the backstory of obviously Infinity Saga, we knew what was going on. Where this is a little bit of like, kind of falls into a couple of categories of like, hey guys, the shiny, but it's like, hey guys, the X-Men, do you remember these guys? Oh yeah, I kind of remember them sort of thing. And hey guys, like these are kind of semi-familiar faces, right? The OG Marvel. Oh, yeah, I can kind of accept that a little bit as well. And, by the way, these are also new people. So, okay, it's like three different concepts at the same time, rather than everyone's been fleshed out. And it could work. I'm not saying it can't. But, yeah, it's a lot of... that's where the gamble is. It's a lot of a little bit of nostalgia, a little bit of recognition, and a little bit of, can you accept these new characters off the go? Because they need to... Their roles are already too big. They have to work as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the supporting X-Men that they announced, a bit of a mixed bag, I was thinking.
Yeah.
So we've got Alan Cummings, Nightcrawler.
Legend.
From X2.
He was great. He was great.
Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer Lawrence's Mystique.
Yep.
OG. And
James Marsden's Cyclops.
No. Wait, no. Jennifer Lawrence
wasn't OG.
She was the OG. Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence.
No.
Something like that, yeah.
The OG Mystique is coming back. The actress.
Mystique.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence was not Jennifer Lawrence.
Is it not Jennifer Lawrence?
No, Jennifer Lawrence was the first class. Rebecca Romijn.
Yes.
Romijn.
Oh, yeah.
Rebecca. Yeah. Good old Rebecca. She's
Rebecca.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
She was a replacement. Yep. James Marsden's Cyclops. And newcomer, Channing Tatum's Gambit.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. which that's finally one of the more that's going to be the nice new bounce with the old bounce, which is cool. Mm-hmm. Like, hopefully he's with them. I imagine he will be. Well, actually, I don't know. Yeah. We've only ever seen him in the void.
Yeah.
So
it's
it could be a different timeline. It could be a completely different timeline from where.
No, in his first of all, I think it's fair to say that forget even the Deadpool film. You know that a big part of that was Ryan Reynolds kind of going, look, you've been on this fucking fan favorite bullshit for years. It's cancelled. Just come appear in my film, and if it works, it will blow you up. And it has. It's gotten to this point. But there's a cut after credit scene or post credit scene. I can't remember. Or is it a cut scene in general? Of it shows after the fight in the big Ant-Man thing in the void in Deadpool and Wolverine. And it shows Gambit kind of turning around after the fight. And it kind of looks like he's dominating the place. And he turns around, and in his eyes, you see like the Doctor Strange like sling ring portals opening up. And
you're yeah.
Like, hey, that's his way out. And oh, then really? whatever's
that makes sense.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They could always make it make sense with Doctor Strange portals, can't
but,
they?
Yeah. Doctor Strange wasn't announced in the lineup either.
No.
Yeah. Very but weird.
Was he Benedict Cumberbatch?
Benedict, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
We'll get to
no,
the
Wong isn't.
At this point.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because he dies. He dies before the film starts. We start at his funeral.
With X-Men cast, especially with Cyclops included, makes me think that it's going to retcon X-Men Last Stand or like just come before it and just, I mean, Days of Future Past tried to do that anyway.
Let's not get into that. It's crazy, man.
But it makes me wonder where they're going to pick up from and how Gambit fits into that.
Maybe they won't even explain it.
Maybe they'll just be there.
At the expansion. Boom.
And are they just done with the first class lot?
It looks like it. Attempted none of the first class lot.
Yeah.
There's not enough of the nostalgia power with that cast.
It's very true.
I mean, would you rather have James McAvoy or would you rather have Patrick Stewart?
Both.
True. But wouldn't you like to see Quicksilver?
Poor Quicksilver. He got done dirty.
Multiple times.
Yeah,
I'd love to see. Yeah. What's his name? The guy who played him in the first class series. Evan Peters?
Yeah, sure.
I like him. I like him as an actor. He was in WandaVision as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he's in them. He's in a few things.
It would have been cool to see him in it, but yeah, you know, they've got the old school X-Men.
Yeah, Evan Peters. That's right. Just a quick one that we glossed over before we move on to the next big name that I can't wait to get to. Where's he gone? Oh, Danny Ramirez as the new Falcon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, he needs more fleshing out as well. He only got the series.
He's in the movie.
He's in the movie.
Yeah, he does get fleshed out a bit in that as well.
Yeah.
He's in it a lot.
Is it comparable to the Winter Soldier, Captain America, the Winter Soldier with Anthony Mackie coming as Chris Evans?
Yeah. It's basically like episodes, the following episodes after the series. And it's probably why they didn't put it in the series.
I mean, I'm talking about like the film with Chris Evans.
Oh, with Chris
Evans. Comparing Chris Evans and Anthony Mackie's relationship with Anthony Mackie's and Danny Ramirez. Does it hold up?
Oh, no. No.
Shame.
Unfortunately not. No. No way, no. They've got a nice relationship, but it's like, it's kind of forced. It feels kind of forced. Yeah. That's my opinion.
Right. Well, I would say the second biggest name on this list, topping Papa Pascal, I would say, is Tom Hiddleston as Loki returning.
Yes.
It's,
you know what?
That's interesting.
I want to see what they do. I want to see what they do with Loki. Because going from the guardian of the fucking timeline to Doomsday, I don't know how they're going to bring it back or what they're going to do with it, but I want to see what they do. That should be fun to see.
Yeah, but if Doomsday is messing with the timelines, and especially if it's the primary timeline, the main one, then yeah, he's got something to say about it. It would make sense. And I was going to say that when we were talking about a bit of like OG casting, how like RDJ and obviously we talk about Cap and how they've, he's one of those actors. Even though I might have said a little bit against Chris Hemsworth, and I'm like, no, actually, no, Tom Hiddleston as Loki, that's now some. You could make a comic book with his face and say,
yeah,
that's fair to say.
He's
you might say he surpassed him.
Mm-hmm.
In his own way, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's got... Chris Hemsworth has more films, technically, but he got two seasons of a series.
Yeah, a very well-received series.
Very well-received series, so...
I think I do prefer Loki as a character over Thor as a character. Mm-hmm. Just the way that the development was drawn out in Loki compared to Thor, I do prefer Loki as a character.
But, I prefer to watch Tom Hiddleston on screen than Chris Hemsworth as Thor.
It is Tom Hiddleston. Because the big jump for them was, obviously, it's now an alternative Loki. He goes to the TV and what? He watches all of his life on the screen and you're meant to just immediately believe that what he's learned all those lessons again, it's our Loki. But you do, you genuinely go, because he plays it so well. If the if it was any less of an actor or person that didn't really capture that Loki thing, you'd be like, yeah, you're just doing a cop job. You're just doing an easy writing thing. He watches it all and learns a lesson. You do take it on board with him.
Yeah, you do.
I can't wait to see what he's got in store. And last, definitely not least, we've got Mr. Robert Downey Jr. himself.
The man who will revive.
Standing ovation.
The man who's going to revive the franchise.
Yeah.
He has so much weight on his shoulders, like, to nail this, because honestly, if Doomsday sucks, it's really going to hit his career hardest out of everyone's.
I would be personally very surprised if he's the reason that this doesn't work. I would still be more fearful of the way they utilize him, his reasoning and story. All about the story.
I don't for a minute doubt his ability.
No,
they would not do Doctor Doom ever again if it doesn't work with our
design.
That's true.
I'm not going to be crazy and say he's always going to work. Even his interpretation might be good for him, but I might not like it. Or it might be well received. Because no matter what, there's also the flip side of it is you've associated him to Tony.
Yeah.
If he's too Tony-ish. But again, this is where the question is. This is where not the cop-out, but the sort of interpretation is, are they going to do a Tony Stark that turned into Doom? Because I could believe it. It's still technology. It's magic combined. I can see it. Or are they going to make the OG character and he's going to have a different personality?
I don't doubt RDJ's acting ability whatsoever. And if they are going to pull, like, RDJ into Doomsday and not into Iron Man, it could be like a very dark twist. And Iron Man's whole life has been very fucked up. And it could go sideways at any point. Like, they could branch it off from Iron Man 3 if Pepper could die, and that could be the catalyst for it. It could be like Civil War when him finding out Bucky killed his mom, and that could be the catalyst for it. It could go any number of ways. But bringing RDJ back is a bit of a high risk, high reward kind of move.
Mm-hmm.
But if it does work, the man will be fucking untouchable. Untouchable. But again, that's it's a very, very big cast with a lot of big names. So, but he is the main character. So I doubt he's not going to have any shortage of screen time.
I think my ideal, what I really, really hope is that it actually isn't related to Iron Man at all, and he gets to do like a fresh character, a fresh take.
Really?
Because even Doctor Doom himself as a character and his backstory,
cool.
I feel like it's cool and it needs to be done justice. And
you
know, you don't have to go fully comic accurate, but I don't think you should lean on your old material that built your old pillars or phases up to Endgame, you know. Because again, like the final scene in Endgame with Tony sacrificed himself, it will kind of take away from that, I think, in a way.
Yeah. The problem is, though, if they try and reinvent him as a new character, every character who has ever heard or seen Tony Stark is just going to be like, that guy looks like Tony Stark.
I do wonder if there's going to be some kind of interaction like that, whether they will recognize him as the Tony Stark they knew. But I think also Doctor Doom has messed up face, right? Messed up skin.
Yeah.
He might have a lot of CG on him or makeup. They might try and make him look different. He's most likely nearly always going to have a mask on.
Yeah.
So it could possibly go that way. I really just hope that they do the Doctor Doom character justice, and that Robert Downey Jr. gets to bring his acting chops like to it and make it his own, like he made Tony Stark his own.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's the ideal situation for me.
Yeah, fair.
I think the word is justice there. I will say this, it made me laugh. I remember watching a breakdown of Doctor Doom, and in the comics, if you, like, it shows you panel by panel, obviously, like phrases about the disfigured face. And I don't know if he's like a vain man in the comic or whatever, but he has an accident and he has like one scar across his, like his forehead to his eye, to his left or right eye. And he's in the mirror, oh my God, he's so distraught. And that's sort of, that was the first iteration of his backstory. But he's got
just had a scar.
he makes a mask, Tony Stark style, puts it on like onto heat and then just smashes it into his face. Completely like melts it.
So dramatic.
One scar and he's disfigured everything. And then he just builds a suit. That's where he, like the look came from in the OG.
Oh, shit.
It's so funny. Just
that's crazy.
Look up the
panel. I do love the new what is it, new mask, same task thing. I do like that, because I mean that is weird that Tony Stark always said he wanted to put a suit of armor around the world. Oh, wow, and that was a Doctor Doom thing from the comics to say that. So that's like, it was a really nice link. Were they always planning it?
It's all connected.
Love if that was the case. I highly doubt it.
No, I think they just realized after and was like, oh, you should say that.
So one of the Marvel execs was there sitting there after another tanking film and just watching an old film, be like, man, RDJ, man, what can we do? And then he said the line, he was like, oh yeah, that's a Doom thing. Oh my God, I've got it! Like,
you got it. Give me the pen!
Give me a pen!
maybe it was RDJ just like sowing the seeds that wasn't in the script at all. He just came out of it. It was like, you know what? I'm going to play Doctor Doom one day as well.
Yeah, this is my backup plan.
Way back in Age of Ultron, he was like, yeah.
Yeah.
10 years' time, I'm going to play a new character.
Smart.
All right. That's the end of the cast list. Yeah, great people returning. But a couple of people I would have liked to have seen in there. A couple of people I'm surprised aren't in there as well. So I don't know how do you want to do this? You got a little list yourself?
I do have a list, yeah.
I mean, my thing is, the way they could advertise it is, sorry, Rick, I can imagine them with their trailers, it's not just going to release scenes or little snippets. It could just be like another cast reveal trailer. And it would just be one name at a time. So maybe like 3 days before the movie, they'll drop two names or three names on each day. I would imagine it. The only thing that I will randomly say is obviously after, thanks, Frames, by the way, for going through the list and everything. I don't know how many were there, like 20-something? 22?
26. Probably.
Whatever the case may be. In the live version, I didn't watch it, I don't think you guys did either, they paused on, not pause, but the camera would stop on every new chair name for 12 minutes.
Was it 12 minutes?
12 minutes, oh, wow. Moved on to the next one. So the whole thing, from top to bottom, all the way until it gets to RDJ, is 5 hours. People sat there 5 hours on probably the background, and it was that's how long it took for this live
show. Do you know what? I wish I knew about it. I would have watched it.
Mate, I watched it for like 30 seconds, and I was like, "What the hell is going on?" It was just stuck on. I don't know whose name it was stuck on. It might have been Kelsey Grammer or something. I was like, "What?" This eerie music playing in the background.
Shall I just reel off everyone?
Do it, Chad. Do it quick.
Okay. So you got Mark Ruffalo, Chris Evans, Tom Holland, and that includes Garfield and Maguire.
Oh yeah.
X-Men First Class.
Tom
cast.
Holland includes Garfield.
Yeah.
And Maguire.
Yeah. No Spider-Man. No Spider-Man are in the lineup. None of the X-Men First Class people are in it. Guardians of the Galaxy. None of them are in it.
Oh, didn't cross my mind.
The Marvels. None of them have been listed.
Ah well.
Wasp. Daredevil and Punisher, not listed.
Oh, sure. No.
Yeah. Harrison Ford's Red Hulk, also not listed.
Weird.
Deadpool, Wolverine, Storm, Doctor Strange, America Sanchez, Hawkeye, Black Widow, Scarlet Witch, Vision, War Machine, New Hawkeye, She-Hulk, Wong, Okoye, Ironheart, Wong. Valkyrie, Moon Knight, Hulk's Kid, Nick Fury, Rogue,
Nick Fury.
Iceman. The kid from Deadpool, Colossus, Teenage Mega, Sogonic, whatever she's called.
Oh, yeah,
none of the TVA people.
Negasonic Agatha, Teenage Warhead.
And no Josh Brolin, no Cable or Thanos.
God damn.
A lot of people not in it. Do you know what? I mean, the main ones being Ruffalo and Chris Evans, yeah. I think.
And a bit of Tom Holland, because the thing is,
yeah, Tom Holland too. You're right.
Well, Benedict Cumberbatch as well is another big one.
Mm-hmm. That's a weird one. I think he has to be in it.
He has to be.
I feel like people even if the names are they're not on the list, I don't think they're going to not be in the film. It could be cameos. They could have little winks. They could be surprise reveals, because this is a big movie. So, and to not have at least Spider-Man. Or one of the Spider-Men seems a bit weird.
I think it's a budget.
Yeah, but
I think it's an infinite budget at this point, though.
I feel like I could swap money is not an issue for people I would prefer. Honestly, yeah. Like I think out of those names, aside for those three, Cumberbatch, Chris Evans, and Mark Ruffalo, I would like to have seen Tobey Maguire. I think would have gone down really well.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Jackman. Of course, yeah. Nick Fury, very surprised. I think he's had the most film appearances.
Probably.
Has to be.
Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah, I'm surprised there's no... Well, I guess as a group, their arc kind of finished Guardians of the Galaxy. They didn't have to be in it, really.
No. I don't. I think for a lot of those people, they're not wanting to associate the old Marvel, the OGs. Mm-hmm. There's some that need to be let go. There's some that there's just not enough space for them, and there's some that they're holding out on that they will reveal or they'll drop it in the movie. Yeah. Not only one in my concern, Benedict, like Strange is a concern for me as a character because I think this is really up his alley. But they were talking about how crazy it would be if they got Tom Holland because just the element of what his character would do, of like seeing basically the face of his hero on the worst enemy at that moment. Like,
oh yeah.
I would just love to see that concept in play of his character. And he would play it. You know, Tom Holland could act the shit out of it, man. Mm-hmm. He turned to dust in front of you. We all believed him.
But, true. It's true.
You did. Still I was scarred. Like, this guy, man. Seriously. Wow. But yeah, I think that interaction would be amazing. Like, on paper.
Very true. Mm. Oh, yeah, Storm.
There's no Pepper as well.
No Pepper. I mean, there's a lot of other people that just aren't in it. But I mean, I was really... trying to only focus on people who have had like highlight recently. I'm surprised She-Hulk's not in it. You know, I'm surprised.
Wong as well.
Wong.
I'm surprised Daredevil's not in it. I mean, maybe I just wanted Daredevil.
Charlie Cox.
Well, they've really built him up. Like, you know, they've really built him up with this series. Would have been perfect place to put him in it.
Great to see him, but we'll see.
But maybe it is one of those ones that when it comes to Secret Wars, like whoever dies in this will get replaced by.
Yeah.
These other up-and-coming characters or ones they missed out.
We do have to remember that this is not necessarily the whole cast list, and two, they're going to do it very, I would imagine, like Infinity War and Endgame. It's not going to be number one and number two. It's part one to part two. There's a whole picture to come.
Yeah.
To wait and see what Marvel do with it.
I am excited. The excitement for it is coming back, mostly because the
I am excited. Promise. I'm apprehensive. But excited.
At the same time.
Are you guys more excited about RDJ or the Russo brothers?
I'm excited. I'm excited to see what the Russo brothers can do back with this crew, this thing. Because I know they've had a lot of hit and miss films. I'm not saying they're bad directors, but they don't have their formula exactly down. But their formula with RDJ and in this space, they do it very well.
A villain RDJ just sounds like. Oh, it sounds so good.
You know, you'll do well.
All the way back around.
Yeah.
My expectations are still tempered, I think.
Yeah.
I think like Sirhan said, I think the way they work together could be what really makes the film. So yeah, I'm hoping that goes down really well.
Well, boys, more than likely, hopefully, but more than likely we'll probably see it together anyway. So we're gonna go through this hand in hand, sweat by sweat. Hopefully not tears, but we never know.
Yep. Yeah.
More tears, can't handle it. Yeah. Imagine if they killed all the Thunderbolts.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you.
They could just die.
Something else is going to happen.
That'd be
mad. Yeah, why not?
Nice one, guys. Glad to have gone over this review. It's been bubbling for like the past week.
Yeah.
Need to talk about it. The group chat was about to go off.
I purposely watched the breakdowns yesterday. I'm like, I want this fresh.
Same, actually.
All right. Well, thanks everyone at home for listening. Was there anyone we missed who you think should be in the film? Anyone you think should have been in the film? Yeah, Captain Sirhan.
No, the Princess
Turkalurka.
From the planet Turkalurki.
Turkalurki.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Hi guys, thanks for tuning in. I've been your host, Fraser.
Charlie.
Rick.
Oh, I mean, it's already been said. It's your princess, Turkalurka.
Turkalurka, sir.
Turkalurka, sir.
Till next time.
Thanks for tuning in.